Chapter 15 this morning, John chapter 15. And I want to read verse number 11 to get our title. And we'll only get started with this message today. I know that shocks the church to hear me say that. You're kind of getting used to that, right? John chapter 15, if you're keeping notes with me through this series as we preach through this book together, I'm preaching on verse 7 through verse 17. So I'm preaching on John chapter 15, verses 7 through 17. Just to get our title, look at verse number 11. The Lord Jesus speaking says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, I want you to mark the opening phrase. It's the title of this message that I'm beginning today. It's the phrase, "These things have I spoken unto you." These things have I spoken unto you. Let's pray together we share this thought. Father, we thank you for this service, and I pray that you will speak to our hearts. Help me to be a clean Christian. Forgive my sin. Help there be nothing hindering you, please. And may the will of God be done in Jesus' name. Amen. In the passage before us, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ are on full display for our attention and our admonition. You know, as I was putting this message together, I just got to thinking about it's a blessing to know that we are studying the actual words of the Lord Jesus Christ. The words of the Lord Jesus are the words of the living God and should therefore be respected, honored, and obeyed. And as I was studying these verses, the Lord directed my attention to different things that the Lord simply said that we can all learn and glean from. The truth of the matter is each one of these truths that I'm going to be preaching on is a sermon in itself, but I'm trying to put them all into one message that's divided into multiple services, you understand? And I plan to simply walk through these verses with you, verse by verse, just showing you what he said, considering these things he spoke to them. And as we consider what he said to these disciples this day, let us pray that these same words will speak to our heart today. Ask God to give you an understanding of what he said, because what he says in this passage, verses 7 to 17, absolutely jammed packed, full of applicable truth for us today. Number one, these things have I spoken to you. Number one, what did he say? What did he speak? First of all, we see him speak his conditions for answered prayer. His conditions for answered prayer. Look at verse number 7. If, there's the condition. He's given a condition. If, it's conditional. If a man, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now notice this now. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, may I say this? No doubt some people try to make this say what it does not say. Well, looky there. I get anything I ask for. Wait a minute. Don't be biblically illiterate here, okay? But when you understand what the Lord is promising, it is a great, challenging, convicting thought for our prayer life. Let me explain this. Ask God now to give you an understanding here. What the Lord said to his disciples in this verse is a blessing and a challenge for our prayer life. Now, I'm glad that the Word of God plainly teaches that God is a God who hears and answers prayer. Psalm 65, 2, "O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come." However, we see the Lord Jesus telling these disciples that there are certain conditions that they must meet in order to have the promise that they will receive what they ask for. I call this his conditional promise for answered prayer. He said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you will and it will be done for you. Now, what in the world is he talking about? As a side note, we see that there will be no abiding in Christ unless his words are abiding in you. And may I say this to you? One cannot truly abide in Christ without having the words of God as a vital part of his own life and ministry. By the way, the word words here, when he said, my words, look it up, it's the word rhema. It means individual parts of the Bible. He's talking about you don't just have the Bible sitting on your coffee table. No, the Word of God is inside your heart. The Word of God, you're digesting. It's abiding in you like you're abiding in me. Get this. What does this promise mean? If he says you're connected to me, you're drawing strength from me, you're spirit-filled, my life is living through you and my words are living in you, what does he mean that you'll ask anything you will and I'll do it for you? May I say this to you? What a promise. What a promise. But does this mean that he's given us a blank check in our prayer life? Ask anything you want. Is that what this is teaching? Friends, listen to us. No doubt the answer to that is no. Because we know our prayer life must line up with the rest of Scripture. Amen? Read this. Listen to this. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have in Him. And if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. So we know that answered prayer is according to the will of God, right? That's what the Word of God says. Here's what the Word of God says, John 14:13. And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Wait a minute. He says answered prayers according to his will. It must be in his name with his authority. But right here he says, ask anything you will. Is he contradicting himself? What is he saying? What is he teaching? Let the Lord show you this. We know the Lord answers prayers according to his will, prayed in his name. So what is he teaching here? When we understand what the Lord is saying, it is a challenge to our prayer life. May I say this to you in a nutshell? Here's what the Lord is saying. Is if our life, get this now, he's saying your life and what you pray for and the answer that you receive is evidence of whether you're truly abiding in me and my word is abiding in you. Stay with me here. Let me explain this. If one is truly abiding in Christ and Christ's words are abiding in him, everything that person prays will be in the name of Christ. And everything that person prays will be according to the will of the Heavenly Father. Oliver Green said it this way, the abiding believer will not pray foolish prayers. He will pray according to the will of God. One man said, while the believer is in fellowship with the Lord and is governed from within by the Word of God, he will not ask for things amiss. Instead of praying in the energy of the flesh, he will pray in the Spirit. One man said, why is there so little power of prayer like this in our own times? Simply because there's so little close communion with Christ and so little strict conformity to his words, men do not abide in Christ and therefore pray in vain. I hope you're understanding what I'm teaching here. More importantly, what the Lord is teaching. He's saying this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it shall be done for you. It's like this illustration. One man, his name was J.A. Campbell. He was a grand old preacher over in North Carolina. Campbell College was named after this man. When his two boys were ready for college, he took them to Wake Forest. They had never been away from home before, and it was hard for him to tear himself away from his boys. But just before he left, he handed the older one a checkbook. And he said to both of them, here's what he said, as long as you believe as I do and stand for the things that I believe in,
As long as you live up to my teachings, you can write your own checks and I will honor them at the bank. May I say this to you? He said that often he had a hard time meeting those checks, but somehow he was able to take care of every check his boys wrote, because as long as his boys agreed with him, he would honor any check they wrote. Are you listening to me? This is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. And we know from studying this chapter that abiding in Christ includes the Word of God. It includes prayer. It includes submission. It includes obedience. All of that is included in abiding. He's saying this: if you submit to me, it'll reveal it in your prayer life. Because what you're praying for is what I desire for you to pray for. And everything I desire for you to pray for, when you pray for that, my answer's yes. Take it to the bank. He's saying, number one, these things have I spoken to you, your prayer life will reveal if you're abiding in me. And your prayer life will reveal if my words are abiding in you. Because what you ask will line up with the way prayer should be, and I will say yes every time. I don't know about you, but I'd like to have God saying yes to my prayers, amen or not. That means that we will pray according to His will, in the name of Christ, abiding in Christ, and the words of God abiding in us. That's when we pray for something and we ask God, God, if you be willing, would you let this take place? I'm telling you that this has challenged my prayer life. The point is our prayer life, what we pray for and how God answers, is a good indicator of whether we're truly abiding in Christ and His words are abiding in us. J. Vernon McGee put it this way: answers to our prayers are a pretty good barometer of our spirituality. Let us all ask ourselves, am I abiding in Christ? And is His words truly abiding in me? Because if so, our prayers will reveal it. Because we will truly be praying in such a way that God will hear and He will answer that prayer. See, abiding in Christ is not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing. It takes submission of the will. Does that mean if you know somebody's sick and you're praying for them to get better and God says no, does that mean that you're not abiding in Christ? No. But if you're truly abiding in Christ, you know in your heart that while you pray for God to heal that person, you're submitting to His will, because you know what His will is best. And in reality, He did hear your prayer. He did answer your prayer, because you're abiding in Him and you've submitted to His will in your life. Don't you understand what I'm teaching? This is what He's saying. Number one, the first thing He spoke was His conditions for answered prayer. Secondly, He spoke this. He spoke His challenge to bear much fruit. We see this in verse number 8. Notice the language. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Earlier in this chapter, the Lord dealt with the truth that every branch is to bear the fruit of the vine. That's where we left off in verse number 6. That every branch is to bear the fruit of the vine, verses 1 through 6 there. And we know this fruit is not the fruit of the branch, but this fruit is the fruit of the vine, which means the branch will bear out what the vine really is. It's called Christ-likeness, being like Christ. Now get this. Here in this verse, He mentions bearing fruit again. And this time, He gives a challenge to do so. It's a twofold challenge. In this verse, we see the Lord makes two statements that are a real challenge for these disciples who heard it that day. And for us today who say, yes, I'm a born-again child of God. Yes, I'm saved. I don't hope so. I don't think so. I know I'm a branch, okay? And if you know you're a branch, he's challenging the branches, bear much fruit. And then he gives two reasons why. Right in this verse right here. First of all, he says, herein is my Father glorified. May I say this to you here? 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. We do not exist to glorify ourselves. We do not exist to glorify another human being. We exist to glorify our Heavenly Father. He is the reason we exist. Everything we do should be done to honor and glorify our God. And here the Lord Jesus tells us how to glorify Him. He says He's glorified when you bear much fruit. He's honored. He's magnified when you reveal in you who the vine is. When you reveal in you what the vine does and the life of the vine. Let me tell you one reason that folks ought to submit to the vine and abide in the vine and let the words of the vine abide in them, and why the branch should submit to him and be loving and kind and gracious and holy and true and pure. Why should you live that way? Why should you submit to God in such a way to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive your enemies? Because that's what He would do. To love your neighbor, because that's what He would do. To share your faith, because that's what He would do. To be kind and generous and loving and merciful and gracious and true. Why should you do that and not live the way your flesh wants to live? You mean tell you why? Because we exist to glorify God. And the way we do it, Jesus said, He is glorified when you bear much fruit. That's what glorifies the Father. He wants to see Jesus in you, and He wants to see Jesus in me. This is what He's teaching. I'm challenging you to be a branch that doesn't just bear fruit, but bear much fruit, because that's when my Father is glorified. Friends, I could stop right there, I'm not going to, but I could stop right there, close my Bible, and it's been well worth us being here. I exist to glorify God the Father. And the way He's told me to do it is to abide in the vine. Let the words of Christ abide in me and submit and pray and obey, so I'm more like Christ than I ever have been. Don't you want to be more like the vine? Amen or not, friends? The Heavenly Father is glorified with that. What a challenge. But He doesn't stop there. Then He says something else. He said, so shall ye be my disciples. If you bear much fruit, you'll be my disciples. What's he talking about? He's talking about bearing much fruit is proof that you are abiding in me. One man said, just as good fruit on a tree does not make the tree a good one, but marks it out as such, so we prove ourselves to be Christ's disciples by displaying Christ-like qualities. He's saying we evidence and we show to those who see the branch, you show and you evidence that you're in me by bearing much fruit. There will be evidence of a branch abiding in Christ because that branch will bear the fruit of the vine itself. The challenge in all of this, because that's what I gave you, number two, the challenge to bear much fruit. And the challenge in all of this is that we ought to bear much. I'm talking to the branch now. If you're not a branch, you can't bear fruit. If you're not a branch, God wants to make you one today. But if you are a branch, He challenges the branches. Bear fruit. Bear more fruit. Bear much fruit. And He challenges to do that by saying, because that's what glorifies the Father. That's enough right there, friends. That's enough. And He said, and that's how you prove who you belong to. With this being said, let me ask you a question. Are you glorifying the Heavenly Father? And is there proof that you are abiding in Christ because of the fruit that you're bearing in your life? How much like the vine are you? Now that's convicting. How much like Christ are you? Because His challenge is, be as much like me as you can be, because it pleases the Father. And it shows the world that you're in me and I'm in you. Reminds me of a verse. Matthew 5:16. Here's what Jesus said. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is His challenge. By the way, I canceled church tonight. I'm giving myself a few more minutes. Amen. I know what you're thinking. Don't cancel it ever again, right? Hey, I'm still doing it. It's not even 12 o'clock. Don't even look at your clock. It's not even 12 yet. It's close, but it's not there yet, okay? Number three. We not only see His conditions for answered prayer and His challenge to bear much fruit, but number three, we see His comparison with the Father and with us. Look at verse number 9 and 10 and let this speak. And let me just tell you already, I can't fully explain these verses I'm getting ready to share with you. Look at verse 9. Jesus said, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Can anybody fully explain that? Can we tell you how much Jesus loves you? With the identical love His Father loves Him. Can anybody explain the Father's love for the Son? Glory to God, friends. I mean, He says, as the Father loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Notice verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These verses before us now are truly deep and beyond our human description. But as we just skim the surface of these verses, it's a blessing, it's a challenge. And listen to what the Lord said. He said, as the Father loved me, comparison, that's the word. As the Father loved me, so have I loved you. Let us pause and think about this amazing truth that Jesus Christ loves us with the identical love that His Father loves Him. There's no way we can fully describe how much God the Father loves God the Son. What an amazing love this is. At the very least, it's eternal love, it's indescribable love, it's indisputable love, it's individual love, it's indestructible love. On and on we could go. And with that same love that God the Father loves God the Son, it's never ending. It never ends. That same love, the Lord compares His love for us with that love that He's loved with. Jesus Christ loves me with the identical love His Father loves Him. One man said, there stood Simon Peter about to deny Him, and Thomas so full of doubts, and Philip wanting to see things eternal, immortal, invisible, when they were all in plain sight before him. There were James and John, the sons of thunder, and Matthew not long ago a common publican, and Simon Zelotes not far removed from nationalistic fanaticism. And all those men with all those shortcomings, the Lord Jesus looked at them and said, I love you, men. I love you so much that I have to compare it to my Father's love for me. That's enough to get down on our faces and just say, thank you, Jesus. What a blessing. What an encouragement. What a comparison. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on to use that thought of his love, and he begins to compare it with his love for the Father and his love to instruct them. He said, continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. In this we see another comparison. The Lord Jesus Christ made with himself and us here. He said that if they are to continue or abide in his love, that they would keep his commandments just like he abides in his Father's love and keeps his commandments. Get this. We are to obey the Lord's commandments gladly because of his great love. And we're to prove our love for him just as he proves his love for his Father. And he said, the way I prove my love for my Father and continue in his love is I obey his commands. Now get this. The point here is because of the great love we're loved with, we should have no problem submitting to whatever he tells us to do. You show me a child of God who is bucking up against the commands of God, and I show you a child of God who's lost sight of how much Jesus Christ loves him or her. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. There's a lot of Christians who are grieved at obeying that command. God gave it to them, but it just grieves them to do it. It rubs them wrong. I'm not going to do it. Let me tell you why. You've fallen out of love with Jesus. Because when you really see how much he loves you and how much you ought to love him in return because he loves you, then you're like, bring it on, Jesus. What do you want me to do next? Amen today, friends. I'm telling you, Christianity needs this point right here. Rejoice and be encouraged with how much the Lord Jesus loves you. And determine to abide in that love. Just stay with it. By keeping his commandments, submitting to his will. And when his love truly gets a hold of our hearts, we'll have no problem doing that whatsoever. Just as he willingly submitted to his Father because of his Father's love for him and his love for his Father. This is his comparison. So we've noticed, first of all, his conditions. Number two, his challenge. Number three, his comparison. But number four, and I close with this, verse 11, we see his cause for saying these things. Look at verse number 11. These things have I spoken unto you. Why? What's the cause? Here it is. That my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now in this verse, we see the cause the Lord had in telling these men all these things. Now he's preaching a sermon to them, okay? So he's going back through all of this. This is just a continuation, going back to the branches, all these other kind of things, going back to chapter 14, all of this. He's telling him all these things. We've preached on it, branches, bear fruit, all of this, obey, submit, pray. And then all of a sudden he says, I've said these things because I want my joy in you. And I've said these things because I want your joy to be full. You know, in all of this, the Lord Jesus Christ is not out to make us miserable. You know, some Christians swallow that lie. If I submit to the will of God, I'm going to be miserable. That's a lie of the devil, friends. Because what he says and what he speaks, he's doing it to give our heart what we're searching for. It's called joy. It's called full joy. You know what the word joy here means? It means cheerfulness. It means gladness. It means calm delight. That's what it means. I'm calmly delighted. These words of the Lord Jesus and submission to them. When he speaks his words, the word of God, when he spoke to them and he says, submit to this. Obey my commands. Abide in my love. Love me. Love them. All of that. He gives these words and he expects submission to them, not to make us miserable, but so our heart finds what it's been searching for all along. Don't you see that? He told them that his joy might remain in them. What a thought. Oliver Green, you can tell I like Oliver Green, right? Oliver Green said, since Jesus was abiding in his Father's love, he had a joy the world knew nothing of. True, he was the man of sorrows, Isaiah 53:3. But he possessed a unique and singular joy as he tabernacled among men. His joy was to do the Father's will, to glorify the name of the Father, and to finish the work the Father had sent him to do. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of God. Now, if I'm reading that verse right, that means that when he looked at Calvary and looked at all the shame that he was getting ready to endure, which is right here in John chapter 15, by the way. It's getting ready to happen in less than 24 hours. The Bible says when he saw Calvary and everything he was going to endure, he had joy. Wow. How could he have joy looking at that? Because he knew that is what God the Father told him to do. And in the midst of the worst pain he's ever suffered, he knew in the will of God that he submitted to, even though they could take his skin off of his back, they could not take the joy out of his heart of saying, I'm doing this for you, Father. And he wants that joy that the cross can't even take away to be in you and in me. And he wants us to have joy that is full. And he says the only way you can have it is if you take my word and you obey. Jesus Christ wants his joy in us to be full. And this is the cause of his words, plural, in our lives. Do you see the importance of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and submitting to them? If you do not listen to the words of Jesus and obey the words of Jesus, you will not experience his joy, true joy in your heart. Oh, how we need to understand this truth. He gives his words. So we submit, so we find his joy, and we have calm delight, even in the midst of sorrow. I remember hearing Curtis Hudson singing a little chorus. It goes like this. I love the old Bible, the precious old Bible. Its light on my pathway does shine. It keeps me so happy, always so happy. God's wonderful book. Divine. And what he's saying is, I've given you my words because I have a cause in your life. I want you to be biblically happy. I want you to have the joy that the world is searching for. Where's this joy found? It's not in unbelief. Voltaire was an infidel of the most pronounced type. And he wrote, and I quote, I wish I had never been born. You're not going to find this joy in pleasure. Lord Byron lived a life of pleasure, if anyone did. And he wrote, and I quote, the worm, the canker, and grief are mine alone. You're not going to find it in money. Jay Gould, the American millionaire, had plenty of that, but when he was dying, he said, and I quote, "I suppose I'm the most miserable man on earth." You're not going to find it in position and fame. Lord Beaconsfield enjoyed more than his share of both, and he wrote, and I quote, "Youth is a mistake, manhood is a struggle, old age is a regret." What a way to live. You're not going to find it in military glory. Alexander the Great conquered the known world in his day. Having done so, he wept in his tent because he said, and I quote, "There are no more worlds to conquer." Everything on planet Earth that you think will bring you joy will bring you emptiness, sorrow, and you'll realize it's not what I'm looking for. But if the words of Jesus abide in you, and you abide in him, let the world throw anything at you, and you'll still have calm delight living inside of you. You'll still be walking in cheerfulness and gladness. There may not be a smile on your face all the time, but there's a smile in your heart because you know that the vine is in you and you're in the vine and you're living in him and he's living through you and his words mean something to you. And whatever he does, whatever he says, you love him because he first loved you. And you're just going to say yes to Jesus. Yes, I will obey. Yes, I will do that. Yes, I will go there. Yes, I will wear that. Yes, I will say that. Yes, I will forgive my enemies. Yes, I will show grace. Yes, I will do that. And God will put his joy inside your heart. This is right in the middle of this passage. I want to go on. I'm enjoying myself. But I stopped my typing right there, so I'm done. Now, what is the message today? Here's the message. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy is full. What do the words of Jesus mean to you? This church needs to be a church where those who come here say, "Take every book you want to take, but give me the Word of God. And let's saturate ourselves in the words of Jesus. And let's determine to be a branch that abides in the vine. And let's his words abide in us." These are the things God is saying. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, bless this service. Speak to our hearts. Challenge us and use us. Show us what you're saying here, Lord. Help us to be submissive. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. This morning I've said several things. I told you that every one of these individual points deserve a sermon. Every one of these points could be a sermon. Maybe the Lord is speaking to your heart under one of these points. Point number one, the words that Jesus spoken. He gave the conditions for answered prayer. If you abide in him and his words abide in you, you can't ask what you will. And it'll be done for you. Can I ask it this way? What does your prayer life reveal about your abiding life? Are you really asking things that's the will of God? Your prayer life reveal that you are abiding in Christ and his words abiding in you? It's a challenge, isn't it? Are you bearing much fruit for the glory of God and proving to the world that you belong to Jesus? Do you delight to do and obey his will and his commands because you've got a glimpse of how much he loves you? His love is a causing love, you see. Causes something. When His love really grips your heart, you have no problem obeying Him. Just as His Father's love gripped His heart and He had no problem obeying His Father's command, even though it meant Calvary. He gladly went to Calvary because that was His Father's command for Him. And He knew His Father wasn't trying to hurt Him. He knew His Father was doing something great. And He knew that His Father loved Him. So He had no problem obeying. Do you willingly, lovingly submit to Him because you see how much He loves you? Finally, do you have full joy? Do you really have the joy of Jesus living in your heart? You cannot unless you're a branch. You cannot unless you're an abiding branch. Today you need to be saved. Come to the Lord. Let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel, how the Lord bled and died and was buried and rose again for your salvation if you'll come and place your faith and trust in Him. But if you are saved, how's your prayer life? How's your love life? I'm talking about with the Lord. Are you obeying Him? How's your fruit-bearing life? Are you bearing much fruit? How's your joy life? Do you have joy in your heart? Oh, how the Lord wants to bless our lives. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to ask Brother Gary to begin to sing. If you want to come and just say, Lord, fill me with your joy. Help me to be a branch that bears much fruit. Help me, Lord God, to meet the conditions to answered prayer. And Lord, help me to glorify you and love you the way you love me. As he sings, you come now. Would you do that? God, help us with this.
When we walk with the Lord,
he wants to help you.
In the light
he wants you to have full joy.
His word,
he wants you to go forward.
Faith-filled
life. Be a fruit-bearing branch.
While we do
abiding in Him. His words abiding in you.
He abides with us still.
For the glory of God.
And with all who will trust and obey.
Sing it if you know it.
Trust and obey. For there's no to trust and obey.
They're playing through. We're going to pray together here momentarily. And as you leave today, if you have not already received one of these Wednesday night prayer sheets, they're available for you back in the back. The ushers should be back there helping with this. And there may be some on the Welcome Center. If you're a guest, please take your card out to the Welcome Center there. We've got a gift for you. Again, I remind you, no service tonight, but let's all meet together at 6:30 at the throne of God. Let's pray through this prayer sheet, and anything else, that's your home. You pray about whatever you want to pray about, okay? Let's pray about this prayer sheet. And I'm rejoicing today that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And because He loves me like that, I should have no problem obeying His voice. Amen. May the Lord help us with this. God willing, we'll be back on Wednesday night. Just pay attention to the weather and the email and website, all of that. That'll be good, okay? Brother Daniel and Miss Rebecca will be selling the Making Homework book. If you want to make your way out there now, that'll be good. I did send an email to those who gave me their email, so if you did not receive that, let me know because there's some kind of a problem, okay? And that'll be good, all right? Thank you for being here. God bless you. I'm a few minutes over. Accept my apology, but I don't really want to apologize for it, you know what I mean? Because we're talking about some great things here, you know? Brother Marty Scroggs, sir, please.